Good evening and welcome everybody to this evening's teleseminar called How to Create the Life of Your Dreams. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be joined by our very special guest, Chris Payne from lifetools.com. But before I introduce Chris, I just wanted to take a little bit of time up front to let you know how this evening's call will work, and that's particularly if you've never been on one of our calls before. Now, this call will be running for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Chris a variety of different questions on how to create the life of your dreams. Now, some of the questions will come from me, but the vast majority of the questions have been inspired by the questions that's actually been submitted through the site when people were signing up for the call. Now, as per usual, this is an international call. We've got people dialing in from all over the world, so wherever you are in the world this evening, I'd just like to welcome you to the call, and it's a great pleasure to be able to serve you this evening. Now, Chris and I have known each other for probably around about a year now. We first met at a seminar last summer here in London. And ever since that day, we've kept in touch. And shortly thereafter, I actually was lucky enough to be invited on to a teleseminar that Chris hosted. And it's a great pleasure for me to actually return that gesture and actually have Chris receiving the questions this time around. So Chris is the founder and director of a website called lifetools.com. So without further ado, it gives me great pleasure to welcome the LifeTools founder to this call. Chris Payne, how are you going there, Chris?
I'm doing really great, thank you, Damien. I'm thrilled to be on the call.
I think it's going to be a great call. Now, I thought I would start us off, Chris. Like, often I speak to people and they think about this whole notion of having a dream life is really something that's only reserved for the privileged few. And I just thought we'd kick the call off by just exploring whether creating a dream life is possible for the average man or woman.
Well, I think that's a very good question to start with, Damien. I mean, I can remember where I was 16 years ago, and I was in a pretty well-paid job, doing a good, you know, and a good job. But was I frustrated, and I enjoyed it, but I used to come home at night and go into the kitchen, and I remember one day kicking the sideboard and almost felt like punching the door with sheer frustration. And I know that some of my other friends were in a similar situation. I had a friend called Mick, and he was so frustrated with his work that he punched through a glass door inside his house and cut his hand. And, you know, there are people on the call thinking probably they don't get quite that frustrated, but I'm sure there's times when they just think, what the heck am I doing in this job? And what happens, I think, Damien, is there's a moment that turns your life around. And it's like you just say, enough is enough. And I'm going to be talking later in the call, if it comes to mind, if you remind me, how to create these enough is enough moments where you say, that's it. This is where things definitely going to change. Now, for me, it wasn't my particular decision. And what actually happened was I came into the office one morning and I was made redundant. And I was very scared because I'd worked in this business for 7 years. And because of what was going on, they said, look, you're out of the business, but we'll pay you a salary for 2 years if you don't compete in what we're doing. So we were saying, you know, do something entirely different and we'll pay you a salary for doing that. And I only knew one thing, which was like educational software and how to design programs for young children. And that was my life, had been for a number of years. And they were saying, you can't do that. But if you do, we're going to take a salary from you. But if you do something totally different, we'll pay you. And I thought, well, what's the universe telling me? And I thought, right, I'm going to do my own thing. And I decided to set up my own business. And that became Life Tools. And it took me several months to do that. But from that moment, which was forced on me. I changed my life, built life tools. It started from my bedroom and grew slowly and surely and incredibly over 15 years with tiny, tiny steps taken each day and lots of magic happening. We'll talk about how magic is attracted into life and business later. We now have 50,000 customers. I mean, can you imagine, Damien? 50,000 people have bought us. 250,000 people have rung up our business or written in to actually ask for information. That's 250,000. We've actually sent out 1 million letters in a year. And I don't say that to impress anybody. It's simply to say that I was in a dire situation at one point and things have changed. And if a fool and whatever you want to call me, a crazy person like me, can actually do something remarkable with his life, then anybody can. And I think, you know, I'm living my dream life. I do whatever I want to do, and I really do love what I do, and I put a lot of time into it because I simply love it. So anybody can live a dream life. So that, hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, that's a great answer, Chris. And I just wanted to dig a little bit deeper there as well, because look, what I see in a lot of people is that when they have to let go, that's where the real, I suppose, the mental and emotional challenges come in. But once they've actually gathered a bit of steam and they've gone after their dream and they've made that transition, it becomes a lot more comfortable. And I was just wondering if you could actually share some insights into your transition. What was it, was it a seamless transition into setting up your own business, or were there a few hurdles that you had to scale along the way?
Well, that's got me thinking. Right, I'll tell you this much. If you look at somebody being overweight, you know, they will look at me now, I'm five, you know, I will look between pounds, I'm 20 pounds overweight. I always have to weigh 20 pounds more than I'd like to weigh. Now, it didn't just happen. You know, if we break that down, like 20 pounds over, say, 20 years, and you have only a pound a year, well, a pound is, whatever it is, 16 ounces. Well, that's like less than an ounce every 4 weeks or something. It's about an ounce every 4 weeks if I've got my maths right. I don't tend to think about it. You know, and it's a tiny, tiny amount that they've put on. So they're putting on a tiny amount of extra weight, and here they are down the line. And I think transition happens. You know, it's like a business. You can look at any business, you see somebody and you say, how did they get to there? Well, it was a tiny little thing that's done slightly differently each day. Now, if you look at putting on weight, it's like, you know, I'm thinking of making this, I'm not the best on an analogy of this, but I'm thinking that it just seems to come to mind. You know, if I eat X number of calories a day, and I burn a similar number of calories, and I've got a net, you know, neutral with all the general thing. Now, if I just tend to walk, if I normally walk, say, for 10 minutes a day, you know, to just like out to get some lunch and then 10 minutes back. So let's call it just 10 minutes. If I walk those 10 minutes, then that might maintain my goal. But if I stop doing that 10 minutes by like getting a sandwich in the office, then that could be, if that one tiny, tiny thing could lead to me being 20 stone in 20 pounds extra in 20 years' time, you know, if we keep it simple. So we're looking at massive change down the line from one tiny 10-minute difference. So what I'm really saying, if you can look at it, is changing, doing one thing to 10 minutes that's different. So if you look at tomorrow, it's going to be pretty much the same as today. And pretty much what you're going to do the day after is pretty much what you're going to do, you've been doing to get like today. And if we look at compare the previous year, most of it is pretty much the same. But if you have an idea where you want to go, and you look at changing and doing one thing different for 10 minutes, it's amazing where you will be in a year, 5 years, 10 years. It's astonishing. And that's what I think life's about. It's not about massive change. And I think this is one of the big mistakes that some of the personal growth trainers talk about, which is if you want to create massive results, you've got to create massive change. And there's a lot of truth in that opinion. But that's too much, because people aren't going to leave a seminar and make massive change, because they go off the seminar and they're high for a couple of days and then it's gone. And the massive things they're going to do are gone. But to do something that takes 5 or 10 minutes and just do that one new thing consistently, it's amazing what happens.
I couldn't agree more. And it's interesting, just in reverse as well, like being slightly off course with an aeroplane, at the start of the journey, those slight deviations can actually take someone in completely the wrong direction, whereas often people underestimate these slight incremental improvements each and every single day, these little 1%ers that over a period of time add up to be something quite remarkable. I think there's a popular saying that most people overestimate what they can do in a year, but underestimate what they can do in a lifetime. I think...
This kind of wisdom, Damien, has been talked about for millennia. I mean, take a simple story, the tortoise and the hare. Now, they have a race. Well, it's obvious who's going to win. I mean, the hare is, God knows how many times faster that he can run from the tortoise, but let's call it 30 times faster. I mean, they run like the clappers, and you see, you try and get the tortoise going at his fastest pace. And, God knows, it must be at least 30 times faster than the hare is. But what the hare does, and what's amazing, is he races off to a flying start, and then he stops and goes to sleep. Whereas the tortoise just takes this tiny, tiny step. And if you were to watch this blooming tortoise, you'd fall asleep yourself just watching. But it's the tortoise that wins in the end. And we're in a society, I think, where the vast majority of people are in hare mode. And it seems so ridiculous to be in tortoise mode. But that's where the magic is. And the small percentage of people who plod like the tortoise, one tiny step, it's extraordinary what results. Now, I'll give you an example. Look at get-rich-quick schemes. If you look at the letters that come through the door, I'm sure everybody listening here has received stuff in the post where they said, you can make £10,000 in the next month. Within a year, you could be £500,000. Extraordinary. And people just go, this is amazing. And they pay, spend £100 and they never really get started. And then they'll get something else and might pay £1,000. Or they'll do a series of seminars and they make these amazing promises. And 5 years down the line, they're not actually that further ahead. Now, the research shows that if you take a person, let's take 100 people and 50 of them start with no savings, another 50 start with zero savings. But the first lot, what they do is they're going to invest, they're going to save £5 or $5 a day. So you do that. What the research has shown is 25 years later, the ones who save £5 a day have massively, massively more amounts of money in the bank than all the other 50. In other words, the group that just followed the get-rich-scheme, just got on with life. And the research has always shown that it's the get-rich-quick, the ones who try this after this after this, and they try different things, they're not anywhere forward. As the ones who stick with a few simple principle and just keep at them day after day after day, their life is transformed massively, because you have this thing called compounding. And I'm very interested in success compounding, because it's I do some figures on one of my seminars where once you start accumulating money and it starts to compound, it's amazing. It's almost like if you were to save £5 now, within like 30 years, you'd have millions in the bank. I mean, it's just astonishing because of accumulated, because the interest, even at 5 or 6, or probably about 10% if you invest in a reasonable place, you're just astonishing how it just grows and grows and grows and doubles and doubles and doubles every couple of years. It's astonishing. So where I'm at really when I want to talk to people is, you know, let's not look at major changes. Let's look at a few simple changes. And here's a whole recipe of different things you can do. And what I do is I created a CD set not so long ago called the Effort-Free Life System. And I teach people to do 7 things. And those 7 things, and I get people, you know, to focus on our, is where people are in a very short period of time, is life totally transformed. Because the moment you step onto tortoise mode and do 7 simple things that really seem almost like ridiculously whether we're really going to work or not, you draw in, there's a magnetic law of attraction, and they draw in synchronicities and serendipities that you would never have believed. So it's really about initially a philosophy, a way of looking, which is the first step is almost like getting to tortoise mode. And I'll talk about more about that, how you do that as we go through the call.
I love that concept of success compounding. And it's the first time I've actually heard that as a concept. I'm very familiar with the financial compounding. So I think that's just using that as a thought form or a principle and applying it on a regular basis is something that's very, very powerful. Now, Chris, I'm just curious just to dig a little deeper into your motivations. And I'm just wondering, like, you've dedicated a vast part of your life to helping people transform and improve themselves. And I was just wondering, you know, what is it that motivates you to help and be of service in this way?
Well, you know, I think, you know, when you say that, I just feel like, you know, I can get in touch with my heart. And what I feel is that I'm living my dream. And because I'm in the place I am, really, my focus is helping other people get there. And that really is my real motivation. And, you know, and if I look at my business and think, well, there's a million things that I could do in the day. But what I love to do is support people in their success. You know, and I mean, for example, right now, if people go to my website, I'm happy just to give, you know. And when you and I were talking, I thought, you know, about planning this call, I thought, well, what can I give? So for people to see you and me together, there's a web page you can go to, which is www.lifetools.com/people. So that's www.lifetools, LifeTools. .com/people. So lifetools.com/people. And what you'll see there is a picture of, so people can see, that everybody listening can see a picture of you and me together when we met in London for the very first time. And I said, oh, I must interview you for my newsletter, Damien, which is what I did. But, yeah. You know, if you go to that page, you can get 3 ebooks, which I normally charge people for. Two of them, that a few people know about and have paid money for, and the third one is absolutely brand new, and nobody has seen that, and we've been working frantically to get that finished so that everybody can see this really new ebook that I've created, which really is pertinent for this call and also is motivated by the questions that have come in about this call. So based on the questions that have come in, which we might not handle that many, you know, you'll see the relevance of those when you get the ebook. So there's 3 free ebooks for you that other people have paid for. So go along to that and you'll see. So, you know, what I think really is, it's about living your life. And to give you a sense of what happens is, a lot of the great wise people over the last hundreds of years said the vast majority of people are living in a wasteland. They're lost. They're unsure of themselves. They feel disappointed. They feel something's missing. They're not really sure what they want to do. they feel that life has almost passed them by. That there has to be more than life. They might be have read some personal growth books, and they somehow they can't quite find the missing link. And then there's people in the health, and they can't quite work out why they've not lost weight. Or they can't quite make the friendships they really want with people. The job's not quite the way they want. They can't understand why they can't get on with some of the colleagues. When they go out and have a fun time, everybody else seems to be laughing and joking, and they're not. And, you know, the money seems to, they seem to earn money, but it seems to, like, fall through the fingers. And they've had maybe a relationship, and, you know, it started off fantastic, and now it's, oh, if only it was like where it was when we first got together. What was it that we lost? And then the home, it's like there's all this clutter, and they can't understand why there's all this clutter around, and why they're still in the same home than where they were. Now, out of all those statements I said over the last minute, I would imagine that every person on the call can say, I'm there, or I've been there. Well, that's the wasteland. That's some people call TikTok. There's a whole way that this is explained. And you say, this is where you are. So imagine right now, if you imagine right now you're in this place where you want something. I mean, because everybody on this call wants something. Well, what happens is the next step is there's a call to adventure. Something external says, how about this? And you either say yes to the call and a real yes, or you say, not yet. Not quite yet. I'll say no to that. And I think a lot of people listening have sort of said no, and they said no a lot, and they didn't realize afterwards that, you know, I should have followed that opportunity. And it's like this moment is a call to adventure. I'm saying, you know, join me. And one of the things I want to do is I'm giving, like I'm saying, I've got no agenda other than just to give. So here is a call to adventure. And it's like right this moment, you can either go to the website, lifetools.com/people, or you say, I'll do it later. And you're either going to write it down and do it later after the call, because then you'll be online, or you're not going to write it down. So you're effectively saying no to the call to adventure. And it's like, there is only life. There is only right this moment. And I think life is about saying yes to what comes up. So it's like, it's, you know, if we've got, I don't know, 300, 400 people on the call, Damien, you know, either 400 people come and get the 3 e-books that I've spent a lot of time putting together, and I'll just keep finding other stuff that I can give because I just want to give stuff. So they can either say, yeah, I'll get Chris's information, or not. You know, and that's really what it's all about. It's a call to adventure. I mean, a good example, you know, if you see this in the top films, you know, up till a few years ago, the biggest blockbuster of all time was the film Star Wars. And I would imagine that pretty much everybody on the call has either watched Star Wars or they know about it. And if you look at the very beginning of Star Wars, you know, you've got this guy, Luke Skywalker, and you know what? He's lost. He's bored with life, and he really just wants something to happen. You know? And he, you know, and you know what happens then? Is he comes across this guy, Obi-Wan Kenobi. So we'll cut forward a theory, and he says, there's an adventure. Let's go and find this Princess Leia and the Death Star thing and come and see what we can do. And do you think Luke says yes? No, he says no. So he's been offered this a great adventure, this fantastic new life that he could have, and he says no. And you know he's got really good reasons, Damien, because the really good reason is he can't leave his auntie and uncle. Bless. You know, they're getting on, and they need help, and he feels it's his duty to stay around, so he says no. So that's called a refusal of the call. So he's been called to adventure, he said no. And you know, throughout my life I've said no so many times, so many times. I still have to say no because I can't do anything. But I said no. But, you know, he goes back to the farm. And what does he find? His uncle and auntie have been murdered. His property has been destroyed. I mean, really, now he has an opportunity. And he could still say no, but you know, he says yes. So here's an opportunity. And, you know, it's like the invitation. There's always an invitation you either say yes or no. And I think life is about the saying yes to life. And when I look at my children, I've got boys aged 8 and 5. And what they do is they say yes. And if I say, boys, do you fancy doing something different? They say yes. But as soon as you get the older people, they tend to say, well, let me think about it.
Yeah. I think you look at any sort of movie that's got a real powerful storyline, and they do have that classic hero's journey, whether it's Star Wars, The Lion King, The Matrix is another perfect example of Neo and how he initially refuses the call and then ultimately has no other way other than to accept the call and take that path. And I guess in your own life, Chris, being made redundant, it was literally very similar to Luke's aunt and uncle being killed and giving you no choice other than to move forward. And quite often when you have that propelling force behind you, you can really start doing some amazing things.
Well, and you know, to go back, it's like it wasn't like this thing happened out of the blue, because a few months before I was made redundant, I went on a goal-setting course. And I stood up and said, my goal is to set up my own business. And this was my goal, to set up my business in about a year's time when I've saved up some money, because I'm really on a roll to save some money. And so it was going to be all under my control. And then a few months later, out of the blue, I was made redundant. And it was very, very painful for me. Now, when I look back, I'd actually asked for it, Damien. I'd asked the universe to have my business, and the universe gave me a gift. So there's, you know, when I look, what you did, you know, what you've been doing in the run-up to the call, which I've really appreciated, Damien, is you've sent me all these, there are these questions.
It's been amazing, actually.
They're just amazing, page after page after page. And you're even, you know, the last, you know, you even sent me this blinking file like 3:30 this afternoon, and there's just questions on. And what I've been doing is I've been reading through all the questions. And even before this call, I've been resorting them. And so I'm structuring the call specifically around the questions, because I know all the people are listening. I mean, we can't go through them all, but here's just a couple of people who've written in. Janice from the United States, Pam from the United States, Helen from the United Kingdom, another Helen, Catherine from the United Kingdom, Marie from the United Kingdom, Louise from the United Kingdom, Brenda from the United States, Jerusha from the United States, Stephen from Australia, Declan from the United Kingdom, Simon from the United Kingdom, Kim from the United Kingdom, Mary from the United States, Chris from the United, another Chris, there's just all interesting, Wale, W-A-L-E from South Africa, Vanessa from the United Kingdom, Marianne from the United Kingdom, and they just go on and on and on. And that's just the first few that I've pulled out. And of those people, I've resorted them, and I said, right, this is what the call is going to be about. Whereas if I hadn't seen those questions, this thing would be very, very different. So because there's so many questions, all I can do is I've structured roughly what I want to cover and try and hit as hard as I can the questions that have come in around about how you create this life, which is playing tortoise mode and all the rest.
Yeah. I will just share with people some of the main themes, just to give people a flavour of the questions that did come in. And if we don't actually mention your question specifically, I will invite you all just to listen very carefully, because often the questions that we all want answered literally will come in the form of a question from someone else. So do pay close attention as well to other people's questions. But I guess the central themes for what came through were life purpose, finding motivation, becoming like magnetic for attracting both opportunities and people, just the power of visualization.
Let's go for life purpose and start there. Let's really simple life purpose. You know, how do you cover life purpose? I mean, normally, you know, I run seminars every now and again, and I'm spending 3 days. And so, you know, we go really deep, and I don't let anybody leave the seminar until every question is answered. And, you know, I just make sure they're absolutely life transforming. And, you know, if people were to get any of my CDs, you know, when people buy them at the sites, you know, the key word, I just absolutely want to get every question answered. So all I can do is let's just very simply look at life purpose. You know, like Janice from the United States says, how do you discover your life purpose? Well, this is one of the things I really recommend you need to do, is you need to stop. What happens is that we so much live other people's lives. And the way you're going to really find your core purpose is there is this tiny, tiny voice right inside you, and it's whispering in the quietest level. And then there's this massive noise that's going on in your mind right now about all the things that you have to do, the things you should be doing, the things that you did last year. Do you remember that time when you were really upset that person, and if only you hadn't said that thing, and oh my God, I should never have slept with that particular person all those years ago, and if only I'd waited for such and such, and you know, I never forgive myself for what I did there. So this incredible guilt about the past. And then there's this fear for the future, you know, it's like, oh my God, there's this, I'm so worried about what's going to happen. You know, this could happen, and this could happen, and this could happen. And it's like, this is all real, and all that's just so noisy. Now, there are simple ways to get down to those levels where you can actually start to hear that voice. And that voice will appear very, very rarely, but this is why people say, well, meditate. And you know, you can get these CDs where you put headphones on and you sit there and there's water sounds and rainfall and all these binaural beats, and you sit there and you feel better at the end of that time. But do you really, after doing that for a year, are you absolutely crystal clear on your life purpose? Well, the vast majority of people who've done that aren't. So something is missing. You know, people use affirmations to try and create life purpose. You know, I get clear about one, this doesn't work. So really, it's like, how can you quiet the mind right down? And there's one thing that I would really think, and it's so profoundly simple, but I think it's this, which is be grateful for what you've got. You know, whatever you have is extraordinary. You know, there's things in your life that you have that you're just simply not aware of. I mean, I just don't think the vast majority of people listening to this call woke up this morning and just said, thank God I'm alive, and that, you know, and then thought, you know, thank God I've got feet, and you know, yeah, I'm 17 stone, weighing 17 stone, weigh 200 pounds, but you know, I'm alive. And to get to a point where, you know, two or three times a day, they look in the mirror and go, my God, I'm just so fortunate. And I think we need to get every so often to the point where we just say, thank you, God, I just don't want to change anything in my life. And that's what I teach, and you'll get a real sense of that. You know, if you go to thelifetools.com/people page, the ebooks will give you that sense of how you can start to live your life purpose, because there's some real stuff there about life purpose, and one of them is just getting to feel grateful, because when you do that, the noise in your head quiets down and you get a glimpse of what it is you want. And then if you start to write down what you hear when your mind is quiet, you'll start to see some amazing things. So it's almost like you could get a piece of paper or like a brand new journal, and on one of the pages you write, things that come into my mind after I've had a really deep meditation or my mind is really crystal clear. And brackets, only write on this page when your mind has been absolutely crystal clear and it's just one thought in your head. And then you leave a blank page. And then you keep looking at that page each day and say, right, can I write something today? No, I can't. And then you'll come a day when you actually write your first thing, and that's either going to be sooner or later. And my ebooks that you're going to get for free will get you to that point quickly. And that's where I want you to be, because it's so critical to find your life purpose, because once you find it, you know, everything else becomes easy. So that's a little bit on that. Now, how do you get motivated? Well, do you know what? I'm not at all motivated to do anything at the moment, because I just do what I'm inspired to do. So I don't wait to get motivated. As soon as I get to the office, I just do what I love. And when I come home at night, I just do what I love. And I just say no to an awful lot of stuff, because I get asked so much stuff. I get invited on calls and so on, and out for meals. And I just make lots of excuses because I just want to focus on what I love. So this is the thing. You only need motivating on things that aren't important to you. How about that? You only need motivating on things that aren't important to you. So we have this culture which says, do you know what? You need a life coach. And do you know, Damien, I'm not so sure. Because the vast majority of life coaches, what they do is they say, right, what is it you really need to do? And they say, well, I need to do X. This is what I want to do, and I really am getting around to it. And they say, right, okay. What do you think is the most important thing you can do in the next day or two? And you say, right, there's these five things. And the coach might say, are they really scary to do? And you say, yeah. Right, okay, we're going to, all four or five of those you could do in the next week. So I'm going to speak to you in 2 weeks' time. And if you haven't done them, we're going to have a forfeit. So I don't know, maybe you're going to have to give me £200, or let's think of a horrible thing that you're going to have to do if you don't do that thing. And you end up almost like being bullied to doing what you want to do. Or if they don't do that, you say, right, I'm going to do X. And you come on the phone call the next time. You've not blinking well, don't it? So you're getting somebody outside you to motivate you. And it's either being nice to you or bullying you with a stick. And that's what we're used to. We're into a bullying society. And it's like, no, that's absolute. I just don't agree with that at all. I think the purpose is to be self-motivated. The only purpose of a coach that's a really good coach is to get you to be massively motivated by just asking you questions. So I think it's about, where are you massively motivated right now? And, you know, one of the themes of my e-books is that, you know, that I'm giving for free is to show you how you can shift your motivation so that you just see how you can actually shift that to inspiration. And one of the things you do is you just say, right, how will that change my life? What is it I do so much of the time? Right, well, I spend so much of my time with my children. Right, well, how will me, say, getting on the phone, finding business, which is one of the themes of the question, how will me getting on the phone, finding a new client, help me with the kids? How will it help me have more fun with the kids? Well, I'll have more fun because if I do this in this, I'll be really focused on the children, and I'll earn more money, which means I can spend more on the children, and I'll feel really like a child again, and almost like so playful having done this call and actually created the new client, that I'll be more playful with the children. And it's all about the children and the children. Once you've got loads of things stacked up over children, you just think, right, I am so inspired to now make that call. Now, if you are, you know, really, really motivated about listening to music, and that is your massive passion, and you spend all night, every night, listening to music, you say, well, how can me finding a new client affect music? I want to, like, 20 things how that's going to really improve my enjoyment of music. And when you do that, you end up with motivation, because you're inspired now to follow your goals. So that's one tiny thing you can do to move you forward.
I just remember listening to a football coach, and he was asked in an interview by a journalist, and the question was, like, how do you actually motivate your players? And the coach famously said that, like, if you had to actually motivate any of his players to perform at that level, and I think it was like at a national level, like, he was doing the absolute wrong things. go purely like to get to that level, you've got to be highly motivated and self-starting. And if he was spending his time motivating the players, he was doing the absolute wrong thing. But I did want to pick up on something you said there as well, Chris, which is really, really quite powerful, and I didn't want to skip over it. And that's the whole process of saying no. And it seems like you've got a very, very effective strategy for saying no to people. And I see with so many people, one of the things that really they find most challenging is not being able to say no when people make requests. And often they feel guilty and they end up getting led in directions that they don't want to go in. And I was just wondering if you could share your strategy for getting absolutely clear about the things that you do want to do and the things that you don't want to do.
Well, this is a big area, and I'll tell you what, and it really comes to me, it's this. You have to love yourself. You have to respect yourself. You have to honor yourself. And I can tell you the vast majority of people don't at the core level. Because when you really love yourself, you say no an awful lot to people. And you don't cringe, just say no. And people who love you might say, how could you possibly say no? And you say, well, it's no. And then when you said no, there's no explanation, there's no justification. Because when I love myself at a profound level, I just don't care what anybody else thinks. And, you know, there aren't many people that say that, I just don't care. And it's almost like, bloody hell, he's really selfish. But, you know, the only thing you can do is be profoundly selfish. And if you haven't got people who love you, like your best friends, that will be describing to you and say, my best mate, such a body, is probably amongst the most selfish people I've ever met, but he's also the most giving person I've ever met. So if you haven't got people saying that, I want you to almost find friends who are, you know, and almost change your relationship to them so that they say that you're profoundly selfish. And people say that to me, and I just say, absolutely I am. Absolutely I am. I'm very selfish when it's not really what I want to do right now. But you get me on something I really want to do, and I'm 100% there for you. And it's meant that loads of people, dozens of people I used to be really great friends with, I'm not anymore. Because they want me to do things that really don't interest me. So I just do what I absolutely love. And I see that my children are the same, but they do that spontaneously. I've had to learn that. I've had to learn to say no. And then, so that's a really important thing, which is no. And I don't do that from the other person. I don't see them as not okay or anything. Or I don't say, absolutely no. I just say no because I think they are absolutely perfect the way they are. And I love the fact that they say no. And I talk to them and say, well, if it was this, then I'd say yes. So I will talk to them and say, yes, this is a definite no. But now I've said no, I'll tell you what really interests me. And if it was this, 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 and this, then absolutely I'd say yes. And they'd say, well, yeah, I hear you. And I can't quite meet that criteria yet, but I'll come back to you when I can. So I'm very clear what I say yes to or no to. When I say yes, I'm full in. So I don't tend to go places and I sort of said yes and I think, why did I say that? Because it doesn't make any sense. If I'm going to be there, I'm going to be 100% there. You know, it's like when I'm on the call with you now, I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm just on this call now and I'm just going to do everything I can. And it sounds like, and I don't talk like this all the time, I'm being very passionate down the phone, but this is just me being me right this moment. And other times I can be completely different. So this is how I like, which is be in a place to say no. And, you know, part of the stuff that's in the e-books is about saying no and how to get to that. And there's clues there for you.
That's really, really powerful advice. Now, one of the themes actually was clarity and getting to these clear outcomes that came through the call. I'm actually going to ask a question from Eva from the UK. And Eva was just wondering how to develop a clear picture of how I want my life to be. So how did you actually get really clear about how you wanted your life to unfold, Chris?
Okay. Well, let's start with something. For the person on the call, so every person on the call, I want you to think now. Write on a piece of paper, like a number zero, and then on the other side, or further along the page, write a number 10. So zero is when you close your eyes, you see absolutely nothing. So if I said to you, imagine something you want, and it's zero. And 10 is crystal clarity. Or you can even think zero is, I want you to think, imagine seeing your partner, the person you love the most, like your partner's face. And to be able to see them crystal clear is a 10. And not being able to see anything at all is a zero. So if it's very fuzzy, it might be a one or two. And if there's something there, it's a three. And if it's sort of black and white, it's a four or five. If you start saying no, if you start being grateful for what you've got, if you start implementing some of what I said, if you start to be in tortoise mode, that number, whatever you want, will increase. And there are times when I close my eyes to visualize a goal, and it is so clear, it's actually clearer than when my eyes are open, and it startles me, the clarity. It startles me. And it's that vibrant, that it's so clear. Now, there's times where it's less than that. Now, here's a question. Whatever level you've got, there's a way for that to increase. And that's what my ebooks, you know, the free ebooks are about, which is to increase your level from 1 to 1.5 or 2, from 2 to 2.5. Wherever you are, it'll help you to increase that. Because you follow the simple instructions and these, you know, get it, you know, these, the stuff that I put in there, if you follow just even one of them, your visualization will increase, because it's all about tortoise mode. Getting, saying no, loving who you are, you know, getting clear, you know, being grateful for what you've got. When you do that and you start to really implement that and you look at your visualization level, you'll say, oh my gosh, it's working. It's working. And one thing I've not said, you know, I really think if there's one thing you're going to get, and I, you know, I'm not into people spending money from this call, I just want to give, but here I'm going to ask you to spend some money, and this is it. Get a new book, a blank book that's going to be your journal. And in this, you're simply going to log your progress. So get something, anything, I don't care if it's a cheap exercise book from a pound shop, or a pretty thing, like a pretty journal with flowers on the front, or, you know, you've got a picture in and it's got gold leaf and a bookmark. It doesn't matter. Start with something new and put it, the thing is to make it compact enough you take it with you everywhere. So as long as you've got your bags, if you have a handbag, you know, if a woman or a man in a different culture that carries handbags, have it in there all the time. And what you do is you log how, right now, say day one, which today, when we're doing this, you look at the absolute call for today and say, right, I'm going to log my satisfaction of life, how grateful I am for my life, how good I am at saying no. Rate yourself out of 10. Your level of satisfaction in your relationship. And on the cover, make sure it's private, and you put these numbers down, and you rate all the areas of your life, everything in your life you possibly can, rate out of 10. And then draw a line under that and just read one of my ebooks, look at one of the exercises, and do an exercise. And then if you feel a little bit different, go to the journal and write the date and say, I've just done one of Chris's exercises and I feel this level of gratitude for my life. And then on another day, I say, I've done another Chris's exercise. I've done Chris's exercise again. And this is what, and my relationship with my partner is this level, or I'm feeling this level of happiness in my career, or I'm feeling this clear about where I want to go. I'm feeling this motivated out of 10 in my life. I feel I'm creating time in my life, or I'm working down from 5 days to 4 days. And you log and you say, each time I've done this exercise, whatever it is from any book, and this is how different I feel. And then every so often, look over the book and you'll say, well, look at that. When I started this book, I did, these were my ratings. And then I did this exercise that Chris put in his ebook, and oh, the number's higher. Well, that was a coincidence. And then you're writing another stuff, and then, oh, I did Chris's exercise again, and the number's still higher than it was. And then there's a gap, and I've written down that I did some other exercises that were from another course, and oh, I got down again and it's gone lower. And then you'll start to see other exercises and say, well, this is interesting. There's a general trend upwards from doing this exercise. But actually, this exercise Chris recommended hasn't worked. And this exercise that I did hasn't really worked. But if I plot the numbers almost like on a graph, this one exercise that Chris recommended on that call in his ebook, there's a really significant, there's a general trend upwards. And really, considering where I was, my visualization skill of satisfaction in life was like 3, and now it's like 6. Well, that's doubled. It's not September, at least it's a 6. Well, that says to me that Chris's exercise is working. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure I do this from now on. So I'm going to write this. I promise from now on to do the exercise because it works. Now, you're either going to get it that my exercises either work or don't work in a day, 2 days, a week, or 2 weeks. But you need to log them. And if you log what works and what doesn't work, and you have a book that purely logs what works and what doesn't work, you'll start to see patterns. And this is what I recommend, and it's really complicated. But here goes. Do more of what works and do less of what doesn't. So I lied. It's really simple. So do more of what works and less of what doesn't. And I can tell you the vast majority of people that I speak to on the phone each day, that I deal with on teleconference calls, because last night I was an hour and a half on the call where people are ringing in and they just ask me a question and I work with them, and I can have hundreds of people on the call and people ask me questions live and I'll answer the questions and move to the next person. And I just deal with people on conference calls, and these are free conference calls, and you'll find out about them, you know, if you sign up for my e-books, because you'll see what I do. And the key is what they do, and the reason why they get stuck is they keep doing what doesn't work, and they tend to do more of what doesn't work. And when things don't work, they do more of that, and they just, you know, instead of, if they shout at a partner and they don't get what they want, they tend to just say, well, shout louder. So they just do more of that. And the only way you're going to see what works and what doesn't work is to log them in a book in some form. And, you know, even if you just think, well, that's too much, because there's just no way I'm going to ever, in the next 5 weeks, get a book and actually start it. Well, it doesn't matter. Start with a scrap of paper and just put a few numbers on. And you'll soon see that doing more of what works, works.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of really powerful ideas there, Chris. And I just love the whole concept of beginning where you are. And quite often people they start with the desire of wishing they were somewhere else. And I think just really taking that time to just accept wherever it is that you are and actually log it, like you suggest, is a really, really, like, it's a phenomenal place to start when anyone's going on a process of transformation. And the other thing that I see quite regularly as well, that often when people are on a journey, that they lose perspective of how far they've actually come. So just being able to write down and just really highlight the progress that you are making as you take steps along this journey can be really, really powerful. And also having an active process of celebrating all those slight distinctions that you make as you progress to the life of your dreams. There was a question that came in that I definitely wanted to ask you, and it comes around, I guess it's an extension of saying no, and it was from Simon in the United Kingdom, and it was on the whole concept of saving time, and I was just wondering if we could spend a bit more time just chewing on this one. And Simon asks, how do I reduce my working week from 5 days to 4 days? I was just wondering if you'd spend some more time going a little bit deeper into that one.
Yeah, let's I would say this because we've got like 5 minutes and we're finished. So let's just see if we can link it to what we've already discussed. I mean, there's so many ways I can answer this. You know, I happily spend 20 minutes on this alone, but let's just do this. I suggest this. What if that was massive? That was a massive goal. That's a hair goal. Let's do tortoise. So what he wants to do is do 4 days instead of five. So this is what I suggest is, let's say he works for somebody. Well, let's say he's working, but let's just keep it simple that he's working for himself in some way. Then I reckon, let's say he spends Friday, all day Friday working. I think he should start, if every Friday he starts at 9 o'clock and finishes at five, I reckon we should do this. Start at 9:15 and under no circumstances start before 9:15. And do whatever it takes to put something else. Now, what do you do before 9:15? Well, between 9 and 9:15, you can pretty much do anything, but this is what I recommend. Between 9 and 9:15, do absolutely nothing other than something that you really would love to do. If nobody cared, it was like a secret, and you were not going to tell anybody what you do, do it. Just do it in that 15 minutes. Do something truly outrageous. I don't care if it's doing a painting or doing drawing for the first time or counting your money or doing some exercise or dancing to music in your living room, but do it for 15 minutes. Now, this is what I reckon. The week after, see if you can come in at 9:30. And if you can, and you say, yeah, the week after, I'm going to come in at 9:30, then come in at 9:30. But this is the thing, under no circumstances ever go before that. So once you get to 9:30, never, ever, ever go into the office or start work before then, no matter what. It's like absolute sacrosanct, and you've got to do whatever you can to make sure. Now, if we look at that, there's 4 in an hour, 7 hours, that's 28. In 28 weeks, you will be completely free on Friday, because all you do all Friday is have fun, because you'll slowly over time cram in. Now, people say, 28 weeks? You must be mad. I'm not waiting 20 weeks. I want to be down to 4 days a week within like the next month or two. Well, okay, you put that down as a deadline. Let's see where you are in 2 months' time. So email me. There's an email you can get a hold of me on the lifetools.com/people page, and we'll talk about it. And what we'll do is, what anybody who isn't prepared to wait 28 weeks, email me, and all the ones who are committed to doing it, email me, and then we'll email everybody back in 28 weeks' time and report the results. But do tiny, tiny changes, and your life will change. And if it's too much to go in at 9:15, start at 9:15, start at 9:05, but never, ever, ever go back in time. So I think we're pretty much near the end, aren't we?
Yeah. We are coming up to the end. But Chris, I just wanted to just sort of recap on some really, really powerful ideas that you shared throughout the call. And I've actually been taking notes furiously myself as you were speaking. But the key points for me is just like the power of loving yourself, the power of being really grateful for all the things and blessings that come into your life on a daily basis. I love the idea that you shared about success compounding and taking these baby steps on a regular basis, and how quite often that can be far more powerful than these massive life-transforming changes that literally try and transform your life overnight. But actually just sitting there and actually making these incremental changes can often be quite more powerful. The other thing as well, like the whole power of saying no, I think that's a big challenge for so many people. And also like the concept of just monitoring your progress and actually having a way of measuring your performance and just really noting where you've started and where you've actually ended up. So you've shared some phenomenal concepts over the course of the hour, and I have no doubt that people have got tremendous amounts of value from it. And for people who would like to listen to this recording again, it will be available tomorrow on the People You Should Meet website. So if you just go to the recordings tab on the People You Should Meet website, you will find the full recording if you did want to go through and listen to all the concepts that Chris has shared once again. Chris, we've come to the end of the call. I just wanted to take this opportunity to really say thank you for sharing your time, your energy, and also just for giving up. Like, you didn't have to say yes to this, but you did say that, and I just wanted to actually acknowledge you for taking the time out of your day to be with us, not only just on the call, but you put a tremendous amount of thought and effort and energy in before the call actually even begun, just to sort through the questions and pick out key pertinent points to share your wisdom. So I just wanted to acknowledge you for that.
Well, you're very welcome, Dean. It's been a real pleasure. I mean, the only thing I can add is I can just say one more crazy thing, which is this. If there's anybody listening that has any question they want to ask me, I'm going to do this just for you. And that says, if you want to ask me any question, you email me. You email me and I will answer it. And I will answer it in any depth necessary. I'm either going to type your response or I'll record a response to you. Because whenever I've got free time, I've got spare time, I pull out a question and I'll answer it on a recording. So I will do that for you, for anybody that's listening to this call, because I just love the questions that have come through.
Excellent. And for people on the call who didn't get the link for the very generous offer of the 3 ebooks, you'll find it in the bottom. If you're on the webcast page, there is a link where you can actually click and grab your 3 free ebooks. Or for people who are listening to the recording, if you just go to the webpage www.lifetools.com/people, and you'll be able to download your free bonuses. And again, a very generous offer from Chris. Great, Chris. That brings us to the end of the call. And I was just wondering if you had any closing words of advice for people on how they can live the life of their dreams.
Well, I'll tell you this. Alan can tell you something. No matter what you may feel now, you are an absolute genius. This is another moment where an adventure is calling you, and you either say yes to the adventure and go to lifetools.com/people and get the ebooks, or you say no. But somewhere every day you have calls to adventure. So just notice that whatever comes your way is a call to adventure. You either say yes or you say no. And as soon as you say yes to these calls to adventure, your life will profoundly change.
Brilliant. Excellent, Chris. Thanks once again. Thank you, everyone, for all the time, energy and effort and thought that went behind the questions. And I can't wait to catch you all on People You Should Meet teleconference very soon. Thanks, Chris, and thank you, everyone. Good night.
Goodbye, everyone.